Philip Van Winkle has been in a study of the book of Jude. Here's Philip.
In Jude verse 13, we had just finished talking in verse 12 about these who were clouds. They were spots in the feast. They were empty clouds carrying no water. These false teachers, these people who don't stand for the truth. Then he says at the end of verse 12 that they're trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. So they're unfruitful. And since they've been unfruitful, they've been pulled out by their roots. And he goes on to say another couple things about them. He says in verse 13, they're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. These waves come in, and you can see the dirt and the junk and the filth just flowing in week after week after week after week. The same old nasty waters every single day. Why? Because they don't care to make the waters clean. And so they just become raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. And then, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Stars that have no purpose. It's like, hey, God put the stars in the sky for a reason, so that they would give light. But here are stars that are just wandering around, not having anything at all, and what is going to be their reward? Blackness and darkness forever. See, they're supposed to shine, but they're not shining. And so they will receive blackness and darkness forever. Then look at verse 14. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Well, where do we find Enoch? All the way back in the book of Genesis. You go back in the very first book of the Bible, you count down and look over in Genesis, you'll find out that indeed Enoch is the seventh generation from Adam. A lot of people, and I'm not going to get off on this little subject here, but a lot of people say that there's millions and multiplied millions and billions of years, the age of the earth. But if Adam was the first man created on day six, and Enoch is the seventh generation from Adam, that only leaves 13 generations to squeeze roughly 6 billion years of existence in, and so it doesn't work. But like I said, I'm not going to get off on that because that's sort of outside of the subject of what we're trying to study here. He says, Enoch was a prophet, and he prophesied. Now, when did we learn that he prophesied? Well, right here in the book of Jude. He says, he prophesied about these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. And what's going to be their punishment? He's coming to do what? Verse 15. To execute judgment upon all. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds. Notice how many times ungodly is used here. To execute judgment upon all. To convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed. And of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. I think Jude is trying to tell us something about these people, don't you? These people are anti-God. They are against God. These people were ungodly. These people spoke evil against preachers all the way back in the book of Genesis, when Enoch was a prophet. They spoke evil against preachers in Moses' day, all the way through the Jewish time. They spoke evil against Christ and against his apostles, and they are still the same people that are speaking evil about the church of Christ today. God wants us to know that those who rebel against him, the punishment is going to be severe. Folks, you cannot impress people with the severity of the punishment of sin by preaching some cutesy little speech, by giving a social gospel. People like Joel Osteen and of that caliber of preacher, they do not warn people of hell. And so what happens about this group of people? Look at verse 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Look at that. They speak these great swelling words in order to have admiration of men. Oh, they don't care about pleasing God. There are certain men who could be helpful to them, and so they just want to please them rather than God. That happens even in the Lord's church, doesn't it? It's sad, but it does happen. Preachers, well, they got to be the bigwig preacher. They got to be the next one on the preaching circuit. They got to be popular. They got to have books written and television shows produced, and they got to be the next big thing. And so they spend their time pleasing men and not God. They're men pleasers at their worst. They have moved themselves. They don't stand in the truth anymore. And Jude is going to talk to the brethren right now, and he's going to wrap up his letter here in verse 17. And he says, "But beloved, remember." Don't you remember? "Remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ? How that they told you that there would be mockers in the last time, who would walk after their own ungodly lusts." Listen, you shouldn't be surprised at the false teachers, he says. Don't you remember what the apostles taught? Why are you surprised that false teachers are around? Well, what about you and I today? Look, we can be brokenhearted about it, and we should be brokenhearted about it. But surprised? Oh, I don't think so. We shouldn't be surprised. Some people say, well, and some people truthfully get very discouraged by it. But it's always been the case. The warning is there for us. We do need to do something. We need to recognize the danger of the false teachers. I wonder what Jude would think about what is happening in the brotherhood today. We just go along to get along. These false teachers teaching error on every subject that you can think about. And I'm just going to sort of go along with it. I don't want to cause any trouble. Let's just bury our head in the sand and pretend that everything is okay. I don't think that would be Jude's stand. These false teachers, verse 19, it says, "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." They only care about doing the things that they want to do. They only care about saying kind words to make people feel good. And it's really just so that they can fill their own bellies. They don't have the Spirit dwelling in them. They say words. They get you to believe them, but they don't have the Spirit. But ye, verse 20, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Building up yourselves on the most holy faith. I must do something to build up myself. I have to allow the Word of God to dwell in me. I have to allow the Word of Christ to change me, to build me. But in order for that to happen, I have to study God's Word. I have to apply it to myself. I have to allow it to build me up. And so it says they are to pray in the Spirit. Folks, if you remove yourself from God, there is no way to pray in the Spirit. And these people had removed themselves from God and were not praying in the Spirit. And Judas is giving them warning not to do like that. Verse 21, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." Build up yourself, he says in verse 20. But now he says in verse 21, keep yourself. Verse 20, build up yourself. How? By the Word of God. Verse 21, keep yourself in the love of God. Well, how do I do that? You remember as we studied in 1st and 2nd and 3rd John? This is the love of God, that you keep His commandments. That's how you do it. Keep yourselves in the love of God by continually doing what God says. Looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep your eyes open for the mercy of God, knowing that it is through His mercy and His mercy alone that you and I are going to have salvation. Now, you say, oh, he said mercy alone. Well, folks, it is His mercy that has allowed us to do the things that we can do. It is by His mercy that Christ came to this earth to die a propitiation for us. It is by His mercy that He has given us His Bible, this Bible, that we can study, that we can, first of all, build ourselves upon, and secondly, that we can keep ourselves in the love of God and of Christ. Verse 22, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Others, save with fear, notice verse 23, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Pulling them out of the fire. What fire? The fires of hell. You know, I remember one time I preached a sermon on hell, and I remember as I wrote that sermon, I was doing the best I could. I tried to give a sermon upon hell that would be so scary and so frightful that it would scare people to death to realize that that is what awaits them if they do not change their lives. And I gave it everything that I have, and I preached it for all that I was worth. And after the sermon, a brother got up and he said, well, that was a good sermon, but you ought not come to God out of fear. You ought to come out of love. But wait a minute. What was that Jude just said? Others save with fear. Pulling them out of the fire. Yes, I want people to love God. Yes, I want people to come to God out of reverence. But some people will not. And so those people, Jude says, save by fear. Knowing what awaits them if they do not change. Folks, this is how we can save people today. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen.